This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're Grant and Danny, and you're listening to The Fan, a huge Friday in DC sports already. It's a Scherz day with Max on the hill for the Nats tonight in a big game against the Diamondbacks. The Caps have already made a trade. Stanley Cup hero Matt Niskanen is headed in the division to Philadelphia for Radko Gudas. We'll give you some thoughts on that. A lot of Redskins news and notes to tackle today. And the Wizards are dominating NBA storylines on the official first day of the offseason as they are making a push for the best executive and the hottest name in any front office in basketball.
Man.
Just a ho-hum Friday in D.C.
Yeah. Zach Greinke held a pitching clinic last night at Nats Park. The Nats were invited to see it.
Well, he pitched against the Nats, so he held a clinic. They've never hit him.
Yeah. He's really good. He's having a great season. That's just kind of how you do it. You know how, like, right now on Facebook, you can, like, occasionally find, like, James Cameron teaches a masterclass in film directing. That was a masterclass in pitching. Never faster than 91, 92 miles an hour, just mixing pitches. The Nationals made weak contact after weak contact after weak contact. A game that was humming along was going to be done in about 90 minutes.
So we talked yesterday about the fact that they weren't going to win that game. It was their number five starter against an opponent's number one starter. You don't normally win, and you add to that the fact that the guy has your number. But I actually looked up the numbers during the game as he was cruising along in a no-hit bid. His best average against, on-base percentage against, slugging percentage against in his career is against the Nationals. I don't know what it is, but he just dominates this ball club. So if you see Greinke on the schedule against Washington, just assume
scheduled L,
they will lose that ball game. But you got Scherzer and Strasburg working the next couple of days, a chance to put a couple of wins on the board. Let's start with the NBA Finals. Ultimately, we will transition this locally this hour into the Wizards and their quest to bring in Masai Ujiri. But before we do that, let's talk about a Raptors championship and how we kind of got here. I actually posted on Twitter last night thinking that it would be it's a fair question. I think it's a debatable issue. Like, how do you remember the 2019 NBA Finals? What is the better, bigger description of what happened? Whoa, Raptors, you KO'd the champs. Or Golden State just had too many injuries.
It's that one for me, unfortunately.
So about 900 people have voted, and it's almost 50-50. Yeah. 52% of people are saying this was more about the Warriors' injuries than it was Toronto. 48% of people are saying the Raptors knocked the champs out. But what are the chances, Danny? Klay Thompson was having an incredible night to remember. He had already gone to the line and hit all 10 of his free throws because he'd been fouled on 3 3-point shots. He was filling it up from outside. He was the best player on the floor. Thompson was 8 of 12 shooting, 4 of 6 from 3. He had 30 going into the fourth quarter. He tears his ACL the game after Durant tears his Achilles. Both are going to miss all of next season, very likely. Have you ever seen anything like that?
No. And that's, to me, that's the story. You can't escape that. It's not to diminish credit from the Raptors. It's why, by the way, you try to make a great team. In case LeBron James, you know, hurts his shoulder, or in case Klay Thompson lands awkwardly on a dunk, you try to get there. You try to get to the finals. You don't just try to get the eighth seed, okay?
We used to say that all the time about the Wizards, remember, when they actually were in the playoff mix and they were messing around and beating Toronto in the first round, getting into seven-game series with Boston, with Wall and Beal at the top of their game, Wall hitting jumpers and jumping up on the scorer's table. Mm-hmm. You used to say this a lot, basically. You give yourself a chance in case LeBron sprains his ankle. And it's met with an eye roll, and yeah, I'm sure. But you saw it. This is what happens. Accidentally, sometimes you get to win a championship.
All Toronto has tried to do for the last several years is not rest on its laurels and try to get great. And they've been desperate. You beat the bushes for it. You figure it out. You draft a project in Siakam, who's you know, just a, looks like an octopus walking on land. You go get a guy like Van Fleet that nobody else wanted because he's not tall enough or whatever the heck. And they won last night really because of those two guys. It used to be the big three, right? You get three guys and then a couple role players. Well, a couple of their role guys had 22 points last night. They don't win without some of Van Fleet's clutch shots, those threes that he hit in crunch time. They don't win with what Siakam gave him, double-digit rebounds. He was 26-10 last night. They don't win without that. Yes, Kawhi Leonard's the headline. Yes, Kyle Lowry getting over past playoff demons is a headline. They don't win without an excellent supporting cast that they've assembled because they were desperate to figure out a way to make these pieces fit. But I can't escape that this is a Golden State story. It does not take away from what Toronto did. It has to be noted. This is the two of the three best players on a roster that is capable of ripping off 5 and 6 championships in a row if they stay together.
Right.
One of the great teams ever assembled, robbed of that.
Possibly the best player in the NBA, and then one of the 15 other best players in the NBA.
And a guy that showed you what he could do last night. This was a not tonight, not in my house, I'm going for 45 night.
Yeah, he's unbelievable. And on a team where he was playing first fiddle, I think he would be even more respected. But he's an all-NBA guy, do a Supermax contract for a reason. The amount of things that had to happen for the Raptors to win this championship were kind of ridiculously unlikely, but they did. And they benefited, I don't want to call it luck, but the fortuitous bounce that was not having to deal with Kevin Durant for all but 12 minutes of this series. Then it looked like the Warriors were going to overcome that maybe. They found a way to win Game 5. They would have won last night.
I think they would have.
They were even through three quarters with Klay Thompson not on the floor for several minutes at the end of the third quarter. Came back, hit his free throws, what have you. Which, by the way, I'll never again, ever assume that a guy didn't tear something. He was running after that injury last night. For those of you that didn't watch, he goes down and immediately looks like he did something terribly serious to the knee. He was writhing in pain, rolling around, getting attended to. I thought, he's done for a year. He just tore every ligament in his knee. He pretty much hops back up, and they force him to walk off the floor. They go to commercial on ABC saying, if he doesn't shoot these free throws, he's out for the rest of the game. So you're thinking, oh my gosh, no Klay Thompson for the fourth quarter. We come back to live broadcast, and he's back on the court, and then we get to see that essentially someone from the Warriors bench came running down the tunnel about 50 yards and said to Klay Thompson, hey, if there's any chance you're going to play in the fourth quarter, you have to shoot these free throws or else you're out for the rest of the game.
You're automatically out.
He just turns around and starts jogging back to the court, seemingly pain-free, by the way.
I mean, it was, as honestly, like it looked like Kaiser Soze revealing it at the end. You know, like he all of a sudden starts walking straight.
He wasn't limping. He wasn't hobbling. He just kind of jogged out onto the floor. Doris Burke, in the span of 100 seconds, and I'm not knocking her. She was doing a great job. But she had two reports over the span of 2 minutes. The first said, Klay Thompson's jumping up and down, trying to keep his leg loose so he can get back into the game, trying to talk his way back onto the floor. Not 50 seconds later, they came back to her, and she said, oh, the report is I think she did say torn ACL right then. His night is done. He's torn his ACL. Wait, what? I mean, in the span of, no, I guess we did, let me correct that. She did not say torn ACL during the broadcast. She said during the broadcast, he will not return. But that was 30 seconds after she said that he was jumping up and down. We didn't find out he tore his ACL till Steve Kerr, I think, postgame. Mm. But regardless, he looked like he was ready to go.
Yeah.
They had to pull him off the court because he went back, jogged back to play defense.
And then
next
DeMarcus
possession.
Cousins gave the foul. Yeah. What? I don't know, dude. That's very different than Paul Pierce leaving in a wheelchair and then coming back when he wasn't really that hurt. And the joke now is he said on a pregame show or a halftime show or something like that, all he had to do was go to the bathroom. That's a different animal than what Klay Thompson went through to knock down those free throws. But that's what I can't escape. We were robbed of this incredible team that I really believe would have done it. But
I agree, but here we are, and we're talking about the Warriors almost this whole first segment, and we're both saying that this series was more about Golden State's injuries than Toronto doing something epic. I feel bad about that because I feel like Kawhi Leonard is deserving of some love. He was quiet again for much of last night, was your finals MVP. Without him, they don't get to the finals. They don't win the finals. Pascal Siakam was unbelievable early, ended up 26-10. I found myself like reading up on his history.
Yeah.
That guy was the G League MVP a couple seasons ago, and now he's he, He was the most important player to them last night in 46 minutes on the floor in a clinching game in the finals. Kyle Lowry had a massive performance, as you said. Off the bench, Serge Ibaka scored 15, was great. Van Vliet was unbelievable with 22 on 6 of 14 shooting. So many guys played some hero ball when they needed them to.
Absolutely.
And I do feel bad because I feel like they won't get their credit, but how can you not say this was more about no Durant, no Thompson, banged up Looney? They were triple teaming Steph Curry.
Yeah.
I've never seen that.
Yeah.
Like legitimately three dudes on him on inbound like plays out of the timeout where Quinn Cook is just wide open and has no prayer. If I was a Warriors fan, I would never forgive that guy.
Well, Quinn Cook defensively sprinting away from Van Vliet to allow a wide open look. I mean, they just didn't have it. They didn't have enough depth.
McKinney, Bogut, Cook, pretty much all useless.
Just
last
useless.
Night. Cousins helped a ton.
And they were still right there, by the way, with a shot to win it.
Oh, my
gosh. It just
gosh.
Tells you how special their key guys are.
Livingston went on his 6-0 run by himself for the Warriors in the fourth quarter. He stepped up. Cousins stepped up. But after Thompson went down, it was Curry, Draymond, who was unbelievable minus a bunch of turnovers. He had 8 turnovers.
His energy level was incredible last night. He grabbed every rebound basically that went up.
I know that he's the kind of guy normally I don't like. I love Draymond Green. I love his game.
Give me the second round pick with a chip on her shoulder that never thinks he's make it, that never thinks he's made it, and just outworks everybody.
You know
I'll take
philosophy?
Some bad attitudes.
Ernie's got the same philosophy.
Uh-huh.
Give me the second rounder.
I'd like to sell him for cash. Keep in mind, the Wizards, no second round picks until 2023, everybody.
I was going to say 2056.
The legacy.
We will get to the Wizards because there could be some exciting news on that front. Let's take some calls on last night's game next. Can you believe that one game after Durant was lost, Thompson goes down when he was having a performance to carry Golden State to a game 7? What was the bigger deal in this series? What's the bigger story? The Warriors losing two of their best players or Toronto knocking off the champs? Grant and Danny on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We can sit here and say, well, if this hadn't happened or that hadn't happened, that doesn't matter. What matters is, Kevin Durant is going to miss next season with an Achilles tear. And Clay suffered a knee injury, and we'll know more before too long. But it's just brutal. It's just brutal what these guys have had to deal with and what they're dealing with right now. And so that's my initial feeling.
The Warriors could well be without Durant and Thompson all of next season. And the NBA could be wide open for the first time in a long time. Golden State missing out on a chance to three-peat and to win a title for the fourth time in 5 years. And this was not like the first of those series that escaped from them amid adversity when they brought it on themselves and Draymond Green got suspended, or else they probably don't collapse up 3-1 against the Cavaliers.
You wouldn't think, right?
I didn't really feel that badly for them. You made your own bed in that situation. This was different. This is Durant goes down with a terrible injury after not being able to play for several games. I mean, we forget Klay Thompson missed a game earlier in this series.
That's right. And wasn't himself when he came back at first.
Came back and then goes out in game 6 for the final of a back-and-forth kind of seesaw battle fourth quarter where you were without two All-NBA players.
We don't remember these championships the same as time goes on. This is always the point I make. Nobody remembers. Some people remember, but it's the 10th thing that gets brought up. Houston won back-to-back titles. Michael Jordan was playing baseball. Kobe Bryant has this many titles. He was 4-for-24 in a championship game, and Ron Artest bailed him out with an ill-advised 3. We don't care about that anymore, right? So we'll remember this properly in 5, 6, 7 years. It's Kawhi's title. It's Toronto's first. It's all the wonderful things and the great stories will get written and what this meant in the Jurassic Park and how fun the fans were and the celebrations were. But right now, this minute, to me, this is a Golden State story, Grant.
I'm with you, and that's the poll I posted on Twitter at Grant H. Paulson if you want to vote. 52% of people are saying this was more about the Warriors' injuries than the Raptors' greatness, and that's disappointing for Toronto because you could say I don't want to take away from them, but that's what we're doing with this conversation. Lowry had his moment in the sun, and many years in the making, it was deserved. Kawhi Leonard is a Finals MVP for the second time. What Fred VanVleet did off the bench with 22 points was pretty impressive. And Pascal Siakam has come so far.
Oh, my God.
What an unbelievable talent he is now. And a year ago at this time, they didn't even trust him on the floor in a big spot. Let's go to Guylo over in Indian Head. What's up, dude? How are you?
Morning, boys. Morning.
Guylo.
I don't, you know, a lot of people say that, you know, the NBA it's more flash and stuff. That game last night was outstanding.
Beautiful.
We always like to make, you know, funny monikers about Klay Thompson go game six. Last night, the Toronto Raptors took that very seriously. They weren't trying to let him go. And he just started going off. And I was like, oh, my God, he's about to go for 50. And just for it to be taken away, it was just Also, Danny, congratulations on your Toronto Raptors winning the title. I know it means so much.
Well, it took years of abuse, Guylo, and you and Grant appropriately taking me to the woodshed about how I always believed in them,
Guylo,
et cetera.
I'm not letting him claim victory today.
I'm not claiming victory,
and I'm
buddy.
Not letting you claim a loss today, and here's why. This is not the Raptors team that you and I were joking about for years. They didn't have Kawhi Leonard then. They had an adult come to town.
And I was wrong about them every step of the playoffs. So I can't take any credit for the team winning that I picked to lose to Philadelphia, by the way.
Couple things on the NBA Finals. First brothers to both win championships. I was surprised by this. Pau and Marc Gasol. No other tandem
Nobody else?
Of brothers has ever won titles before in the NBA. You believe that? Seems
no,
very odd.
No, that's crazy.
Yes. I saw that last
night.
But it's
not as if like every set of brothers gets to play
well,
in the league,
if you have a brother, you both get to play in the NBA. You know the rules.
I mean, but goodness.
But I would have thought at some point, two dudes, and I started trying to rack my brain, like, who are the brothers in the NBA anyway? There's not that many.
It's not that many. But you would have figured somewhere like in the 80s, like Kevin McHale's brother, Dave, was the 15th guy on the bench somewhere.
Fred Claus the bench. Yeah, exactly. The only player to score more than 5 points in the fourth quarter last night, Fred VanVleet.
VanVleet.
12 of his 22 points in the fourth quarter. The first undrafted player all time to score 20-plus points in a clinching game of the NBA Finals.
It was the one extra weapon that they couldn't account for, Golden State defensively, right? They loaded up on Leonard, did a great job there, honestly, making him take really tough shots, and you left him open a couple times, and he killed him.
Raj is in Reston. What's going on, man?
Hey, Raj.
Guys, gentlemen, I love your show. Favorite. I look forward to every day. Best sports show in D.C.
You're a sweetheart, sir, but you disagree
nice
with us, don't you?
But this is the part where you get to the
and then you have a big crack-a-lack. Yep, go ahead.
So I think, you know, I agree with you that it, you know, it doesn't feel like a dominant performance, but you guys got to give Toronto some credit in that, you know, it's not like Clay lit it up and Golden State was crushing them. They were right there in the game with them.
Yes.
And so you can't say that in the fourth quarter, maybe they wouldn't have shut him down. And by the way, they'd have to go back in Toronto and win there. And I don't know that they would do that. It's hard to win three games in a row.
Everything you're saying is right.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I don't know. In fact, I would have picked against them again in game seven. I think they run out of gas probably. I don't know how many of those games you have in you. You're not going to be willed with the last game in your building and all the fans and the electricity and the energy. I would have picked against them in game seven. So I'm not saying Toronto wouldn't have ultimately won the series. I just think to have been neck and neck with them without Durant and with Klay Thompson not at 100% and Looney not at 100%, it was an impressive showing. Now, the last thing on the Raptors I'll say is Steph Curry was max effort, and they had a plan and shut him down in a way in the second half.
Uh-huh.
We haven't seen in these playoffs. Now, maybe it was easier to – not maybe.
It's easier to do.
It was easier to do because you didn't have the shooters all over the floor.
Their clutch possessions, Grant, down the stretch in the fourth quarter, they went to the post for DeMarcus Cousins.
Crazy.
Who can no longer jump. It's not as if he was a high flyer before. He's a shell of himself after the Achilles injury. That tells you everything you need to know.
By the way, DeMarcus Cousins is almost unrecognizable at this point, his game, compared to what he was. Is that all based on that injury?
I would say so.
None of that is age? How old is he at this point? He's only like 27,
John Wall's
right?
age. He came out at the same time. What is he, 26, 27?
he plays like an old man.
Yeah, he's got old man YMCA game. At this
seriously,
point.
He has a 42-year-old game right now.
So he's 28, so I was wrong about that.
But even still,
yeah.
Now, I know that his body's different than Durant's, and every injury's a little bit different, but that's everything you need to know if you're about to throw $200 million at Kevin Durant to say, maybe we should hang on here for
a
second.
Big body guys like that, and he didn't have much athleticism to spare anyway, and he was more of a bull, sort of how physical and strong he was, but there was a little bit more quickness than you thought. Go back to Elton Brand in his prime. It's a death knell for bigs.
Dre in Manassas, you loved the game last night, huh?
Hey, Dre.
Yeah, I enjoyed the game. Quite frankly, there's something a bit weird. Maybe dirty that like Canada has the championship. I don't know. This is the first time in my adult life that Canada has something, a championship. I don't really know how to feel. But I would say this. The game was enjoyable. The playoffs were enjoyable. And yeah. I know the NBA, there's no way the NBA is going to change anything. But, you know, I kept on thinking, man, if there was a way, you can't change the regular season. I don't think you can make the playoffs longer, but there's any way you can make the NBA games more meaningful, because in meaningful games you actually see basketball the way it's supposed to be, and as opposed to, you know, people just coming up the court half-assed and, you know, just waiting. I really, really enjoyed the game, and I don't know what NBA needs to do, but they need to find a way to make the regular season games more meaningful, so you get to see more of this throughout all 82 as opposed to just, you know, the first couple of weeks of the summertime.
It's a perfect call. I knock the NBA, I think, correctly a lot.
I agree with
about
you.
Their regular season product. I think it's really tough. And if you're a mark and you're all in on who's wearing what shoes and who's going to sign where, you're going to love it. But for most of us who just want to see really good games, it's a tough watch a lot of the time.
Absolutely.
Unless you got two great teams on a given night. The last couple of weeks, and specifically this series, was impeccable.
Last night was amazing. What a game.
If that game lasted 9 hours, I wouldn't have gone to bed. I mean, it was sensational TV. It was perfect. The Wizards, the moment the final second ticked off the clock, became the biggest story in the NBA with the Toronto Raptors. They are making a push to do something a lot of people are going to say is impossible. Can they pull it off? Next.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
And Danny, 106.7 The Fan. The Caps made a trade today. A Stanley Cup hero is leaving town to stay in the division. We will break that down coming up in just a little bit. But let's get into the bigger news of the morning from the Capital One Arena squads. And that is that the Wizards are preparing to make a massive offer to Toronto's championship architect, Masai Ujiri. He is the potential future president of basketball operations in Washington. But right now, the general manager, the guy that built the Toronto Raptors, that swung for the fences, everyone kind of laughed when they made the big move to go get Kawhi Leonard and try one last time to get another bite at the apple, and it turned into a title last night. If you think this sounds foolish or silly or ridiculous and it could never happen, you might be right, to be completely honest with you. But there's a lot of layers to this onion that need to be peeled back. Last night, David Aldridge of The Athletic tweeted about a story that Fred Katz, who's one of my colleagues over at The Athletic, wrote a little over a week ago. In fact, I think the first person on this was Katz with Ben Standing locally. Ben Standing had a piece in NBC Sports Washington almost a week ago on this as well, where he said that he had sources telling him the Wizards might float the opportunity to run all of Monumental Sports to basically be the top person that people answer to at Monumental, to Masai Ujiri, who would have involvement in the Capitals and the Wizards and all their entities.
Esports and arena football and the Mystics and whatever they run, you're part of it.
So what Katz has added to and what Aldridge has added to is that this could be like a $10 million a year situation. So I'll just read Aldridge's tweet. Sources from around the NBA believe the team is waiting on Raptors president Masai Ujiri. The Wizards are most likely waiting until after the NBA Finals to do so, was the original report they had. Those same sources now telling Aldridge they believe the offer the Wizards are preparing, and it could be coming to Ujiri today.
Got to get permission from Toronto first to engage.
Assuming they are allowed to discuss 6 years, $60 million, a stake in ownership, and basically to be the point man at Monumental Sports. Seems like a lot. How badly do you want to get out of the rock that Ernie Grunfeld buried you under?
Tip of the cap. If this is true, and I have no reason to doubt it, Ted and company, tip of the cap. This is what I was hoping for, something like this. Go get the best. There's no salary cap on GMs. There's no salary cap on president of basketball ops. There's no luxury tax. This is overhead. How bad do you want to be great? I have questioned that. Honestly, I have. I have questioned Ted Leonsis at times, especially with the Wizards. How important is it to you to be great? Would you like to be good enough? Would you like to keep the status quo? You could talk about synergy and process and whatever other buzzwords that you use from the tech industry. It doesn't mean much when your team capped out at round two, game seven, and probably can't get back there for some time, and you didn't show any urgency. This is urgency. This is excellent. Way to go. Get this done. If a sticking point over 10 or 10.3, go up to 10.3. Get the best. I keep saying this, there's no cap on facilities, on training staff, medical, on technology. There is no cap on that. Outspend your opponents. Spend smarter. Don't just spend to spend. Do this. This is great.
And if your thought is, well, look, this is honeymoon stuff. You had this great night last night, and you woke up next to Masai Ujiri, and next thing you know, you want to pay him all the money because you just won a title with the Raptors. He has been a beloved executive for years. He was the executive of the year in the association
Denver.
In 2013 with another team. That was 6 years ago. He's come to Toronto, built them into a contender year in and year out, and then got them over the top this past year. So it's not like coming to Washington, he'd have to prove in a second place that his philosophy and his paradigm and his way of thinking works. He's now proven it in two stops, which I think means he's on to something.
Mm-hmm.
He's now a champion. And if nothing else, he cleans up and alters your culture completely. I think this would engender so much goodwill.
Yes.
I think this would go so far. And I can speak directly to this as someone, I've told you this in the past.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time in my life where the Wizards were my number one team of all the sports teams when I was a kid growing up. At this point, they have become number four for me.
Yeah.
I think I speak for a lot of people in Washington, D.C.
You definitely do.
I didn't, you know, do what you did and tweet about Ernie Grunfeld every day. I don't really like calling for people's jobs and making it personal and all that. But I was so disenfranchised with this team and so just off-put by the way that they seemed to not care how poorly they were run for so long on the outside looking in. Mm-hmm. I know that they did care, but that's the optics of it. When I just know that you're employing a guy who's not very good at his job year after year after year for 14 years.
Secret extension, et cetera.
It's hard for me to get behind that. This is the milkshake that brings me back to the yard. This is the one right here. You want to talk about what would this mean? How could this affect things? This, to me, would reignite basketball in Washington, D.C. on the heels of the title that Ujiri just led Toronto to. We can get more into that later, but I guess the big question right now is, can they actually pull this off?
Yeah.
Is this a Durant 2.0 where we talk about
this?
It's the
pipe dream, yeah.
We worked ourselves into a lather. And then think about it. Why would the Raptors let him do this, number one? Number two, does he want to leave Toronto? Is $10 million a year and an ownership stake, pretty sweet deal, is it enough to take this risk? He's got a pretty good thing going right now.
He's got a great thing going, and it's a great situation. The relationship right now between the Raptors and the city is as good as it'll ever be. He's beloved. He's a rock star. The reason you do it, if you're him, is A, you go from an unpaid scout with the Orlando Magic not that long ago to an owner, a part owner anyway, of an NBA and a sports empire, which is what Monumental kind of is. It's the dream come true. It's the American dream times a million, because all you are is great at what you do, and you engender goodwill everywhere you've gone. And I don't know his mind, obviously, right? Because he's got a great situation. He could probably just do what Tim Connelly did, parlay it into a raise with Toronto and say thank you very much for your interest, and the Wizards could be back to not interviewing anybody else and just giving the internal guy, Tommy Shepard, the promotion. But you pull out all the stops. This is what the Wizards should be doing. They should be doing everything they possibly can to get the best guy. By all accounts, that's what this guy is. You think about adverse situations, too. The Wizards are screwed for 4 years, basically. I've beat that drum, and I believe that. So this would give him the autonomy and the acknowledgement that, yes, we are not in a good place, so let's figure out the way out of this. The best way out of this is what? You're allowed and have the freedom to do that. No more just cobbling veterans together, giving up draft picks like Ernie Grunfeld gave out like candy on Halloween just to see if we can get the eight seed.
You would try to do something special. You think it might even work to the benefit that you have time to tinker and play? Because my thought is, why would he want to come here and be saddled by John Wall's contract?
Well, he is saddled, but he's been saddled before.
But he's coming to a spot where he's not able to win for, you said 4 years, I'll say three, but regardless.
It's a while.
You're just going to take it on the chin for years.
And he inherited a ready-made 50-win team in Toronto and got them over the hump. This is the true starter kit. We're probably worse off than an expansion team right now. A few guys under contract, and we're right at the luxury tax line. You know what I mean? Without any restricted free agents, without any draft picks, with nothing else. Five guys under contract once Dwight Howard opts in, and you're basically, your roster is stuck. But he was the guy in Denver, remember, where Carmelo Anthony was like, surprise, I need to get traded to New York because my fiance slash wife wants to be an MTV VJ. Handle that for me. He had to deal with that and then got them back to 50 wins a couple years later. I mean, a remarkable executive in this level.
Wizards fans, you've been wondering why the GM search was so quiet. You have been frustrated by this offseason. You're 6 days away from picking number 9 in the NBA draft. The finals ended last night. You're thrust into the spotlight as Ted Leonsis is reportedly chasing Masai Ujiri. Your thoughts on whether or not the team can land him, what it would mean if they actually pull it off. 800-636-1067. The Adid Carpet Cleaning listener lines are open. Last night, when the NBA Finals had come to a close, the Raptors were celebrating. One of the more memorable moments on the stage was the class, the dignity with which Masai Ujiri addressed the NBA audience around the world that was watching. And I thought, what a leader. What a great executive architect he was. And within minutes, story came out from Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN that confirmed the original reporting of Ben Standig and Fred Katz here in D.C. that the Wizards are making a strong push for the guy that built the Raptors. They're going to offer him reportedly $10 million a year, maybe $6 and $60 million. Think about that. $10 million a year. Ted Leonsis has been critiqued by fans at times for being quote-unquote cheap. They always say that until he isn't, by the way. He's so cheap, he goes and pays Scott Brooks all the money.
Yep.
He's so cheap, he goes and pays or tries to pay Masai Ujiri all the money. And then it just goes away, and whatever they got to yell at him and say that he was doesn't matter anymore. I'm sure he was cheap. He just had the wrong guy in charge for a long time.
But they did make cheap moves where they would sell the second-round pick for cash instead of trying to get a player. I mean,
Doesn't mean Ted Leonsis was telling him to do that.
Well,
people say he's cheap. He's maybe signed off. Maybe Ernie Grunfeld hates second-round picks.
We don't know. I know this. There were certainly things you could criticize for in terms of cost-cutting, money-saving things. But you're right. It's true until it isn't, right? And sure. You would say now that it isn't because you may have argued overspent on Scott Brooks.
It would be fascinating to me, by the way. I have to mention this elephant in the room. If you were to spend $10 million a year to go get Masai Ujiri from Toronto, and you weren't willing to meet Barry Trotz where he wanted to be after he'd won you a cup.
Yes.
This guy won the Larry O'Brien trophy for Toronto. Let's pay him everything. This guy won us our first Stanley Cup.
Thanks so much for your time.
It's been real. Todd Reardon's ready to take over.
Can we help pack your bag?
Let's go to Chudy in D.C. Hey, Chudy, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for taking my call. I'd say that I'd be hyped if the Wizards get Ujiri to come to D.C. And, you know, even though it does seem like a bit of a fantasy, I think that one reason that he might be drawn to D.C. is the challenge of actually fixing up a team that has not made it over an actual hump of the second round of the playoffs, and we didn't even make the playoffs this year. And plus, hey, ownership, $10 million a year, it's tempting. But then again, the Raptors have no reason to even basically – okay this, but, you know, one can hope. So thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, buddy. I mean, it's seen as bad form if you stand in the way of progress in pro sports, right? This a step up, a guy that would, again, came from the scouting background, was an assistant GM under Kiki Vandeweghe, you know, then became a regular GM, then became the progression to part owner is something that usually you wouldn't think guys would stand in the way of, but this is a pretty unique case. because Toronto's facing their own challenges, by the way, salary cap wise. You have to, you know, pay some of these dudes. Do you bring Kawhi Leonard back, et cetera? They would like this architect who's just bought them a whole bunch of fan currency and patience, you would think, with that fan base, right?
Yes, and everything you said is true, and I want to go back to the first thing you said, which is it is seen as bad form sometimes if you block a guy. There's a Beck song I reference from time to time. I'm a loser, baby, so why don't you kill me? The Raptors should sing, I'm a jerk, baby, I'm keeping him hostage.
They go Dennis Leary because I'm a blank blank?
Yeah, so what? So what? We're jerks. You're not leaving. You know who wanted to leave was a couple of assistants from Kyle Shanahan's offensive staff this year for better jobs. You know what he said?
Nope.
You're not leaving. This is make or break for me. My neck's on the line. I brought you in here. You've got a contract. You're sticking with me. One of his assistants is the brother of one of Kyle's best friends in the world, Matt LaFleur. Matt LaFleur calls Kyle Shanahan begging and pleading to have his brother work with him. Lifelong goal and dream of theirs. He's like in tears almost saying, please let my brother work with me.
Cram it up your cram hole, LaFleur.
Hey, best friend, no chance. He's not coming. Sorry, this is business. Let's go to DeAndre in Fairfax. What's up, dude? DeAndre, you're on Gray and Danny. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, man.
Good.
Yeah, I think the Wizards should pursue Masai Ujiri. He turned around the Raptors and gone to their first championship. It'd be great for the city if he did it.
Thank you, DeAndre.
Great first season in Phoenix, buddy. I don't know that you need to say any more than that, I guess, but the guy's a really good GM. They should try to get him. I guess that's a good summary. Lost a little momentum there with that call, to be honest with you. Lost a little momentum. All right.
The segment on a 1 to 10 scale, before that call and after that call, grades out differently.
It's a very different. Thank you, Tommy.
You know what, Tommy, do me a favor. Get a rejoin ready. We're going to come back from break. We're going to start the segment over.
Okay, here we go.
If you wouldn't mind, we're just going to start anew, and then we'll take one more call. We'll finish the segment strong. We'll act like nothing's happened so far. So here we go.
Working it up here.
Oh.
There it is.
Thank you, as always, for listening. We're Grant and Danny. You're locked into the Fan at 11 a.m. The Redskins have actually hired an analytics dude. A guy that worked at PFF as an analytics mind is coming to Washington. Doug Williams had some incredibly off-base comments on numbers and analytics. We'll get to those at the top of the hour. Very short segment here. We only have a moment, so let's get straight to Guilo and Indian Head. Guilo, how are you?
You know, for a second there, I was like, am I tripping? Are they on tape delay? Yeah. All right.
Yes.
You know, Ted has really, you know, really bothered me over the past couple years. You know, he's been real snarky towards the fans because we didn't really like Ernie or whatever. And, you know, it left a bad taste in my mouth, you know, just Tim Connelly to be like, yeah, no thanks, going back to Denver. And it would definitely mean a lot to me personally. You know, to have a guy that actually values assets in some way, shape, or form and don't just toss them to the wind like it don't matter. But, he has a real big task in front of him if he comes here. But at the same time, I'm perfectly fine willing to lose. I mean, the losing is covered already.
We got that.
We
got that taken care of, don't we, Guilo?
Thanks, Guilo.
Good call. Thank you, buddy. What if they don't get Ujiri?
Pretty much since last night,
I have done this thing where I'm not necessarily all in that I'm going to be heartbroken. I'm getting there, though. But
I'll be heartbroken.
What I have not considered is, what if they don't get him? Then what? I think it's just Tommy Shepard, probably.
That's what I would think. Because they haven't circled back with Troy Weaver. They haven't circled back with Danny Ferry or the other guys that they could have talked to. The musical chairs, the music stopped.
No disrespect to Tommy Shepard. That's the complete opposite of Ujiri in that you're going from, we're going to swing for the fences and hit a home run and bring in this guy that everyone wants and is the talk of the NBA to, we're just going to keep our front office mostly intact and the guy that worked under Ernie is going to get promoted. There is no more bigger polar opposite than that.
Yeah, that's a stark contrast. That's a Jason Stark contrast right there. That's Tony Stark contrast.
That's a Ned Stark contrast.
Yeah, Greg Paulson.
Thank you.
Casual Game of Thrones at 10:56.
Huh? How about it?
Winsor is coming.
The Redskins hired an analytics guy.
This is my favorite topic of the day, by the way.
But in the same story that mentioned that they hired an analytics guy, Doug Williams talked about how useless numbers are.
This is my favorite story.
Well, we both can't wait. So why don't we just skip the break and do it? Grant and Dan on the bench.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.